Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the reinstitution of the Passover as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verse 1. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Hezekiah sent to all of Israel and Judah, and he wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Yahweh, the God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba. They are going to include the invitation to those that are in the northern kingdom, that they were invited to come and to keep the Passover unto Yahweh, God of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not done it for a long time in such sort as it was written. They had not been keeping this holy day. So the messengers, the post, they went out with the letters from the kings and from his princes throughout all of Israel and Judah. And according to the commandment of the king, they said, "You children of Israel, turn again unto Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria." So first of all, the challenge for them to return to God with the promise, if you will return to God, God will return to you. You that still remain, you that have not yet been taken captives. Over and over, God promised that if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. If you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. That's just a basic law of God. James said, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." Over and over, seek the Lord, and you'll find him. If you return to God, God will return to you. And then, secondly, he said, "Don't be like your fathers, and like your brothers, which trespassed against Yahweh, the God of their fathers, who because of this gave them up to desolation," as you see. Your fathers and your brothers are existing now under the desolate conditions of captivity to the Ninevites, the Assyrians. Nineveh was its capital. And they are in these desperate states because they forsook the Lord. "Don't be like them who, because of their trespasses against Yahweh, are in such desperate conditions." Then he said, "Don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Yahweh and enter into his sanctuary." So don't be stiff-necked. Make this agreement with God. Yield yourselves and serve Yahweh your God in order that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. They had already begun to experience the tragic consequences of their turning away from the Lord as their fathers and sisters and families were carried away captives to Assyria. For he said, "If you turn again unto Yahweh, your brothers and your children will find compassion before them that have led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land." God can still restore. Even though they've been carried away, God can restore. God is so patient. God is so long-suffering, and he puts up with so much. And even after you've begun to suffer the consequences of your sins, even then God will restore if you'll just turn to him. Though you may be a long way down the road in judgment, still, if you'll turn to God, there's forgiveness, there's cleansing, there's pardon. For he said, Yahweh, our God, is gracious and he is merciful. And he will not turn his face away from you if you will return to him. So the mercy and the graciousness of God, he is so gracious, so merciful. So the post, the messengers, passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, the northern part. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Here they are, stiff-necked, continuing in their rebellion against God, having set themselves against the Lord. When people come and warn them, look, this has happened to you because you've forsaken God, just turn back to God and he'll help. They just laugh them to scorn. They mock them. Oh, come on, you know. You want a president who prays? Are you kidding? You know, what kind of a president would he make if he would seek the advice of God? I couldn't have confidence in that kind of a man who doesn't know what he's doing and has to seek the advice of God. And so we hear by our liberal press, they laugh them to scorn and mock them. The call to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord, always, it seems, receives a varied types of responses. There are always those even today who you talk to about the Lord and they just mock. Oh, I'm a sinner, you know. And it's sort of a mockery and a scorning of their need of salvation. They can be on the border of eternity and still mock over the things of God. Scorn them. Then it says, but there were those diverse from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun who humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. They responded to the invitation. But the indication here is that it wasn't a full or wholehearted kind of response. It was just sort of, well, you know, can't hurt, you know. We are in a mess, so let's try it. But then the third type of response was from those of Judah, where the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. I mean, these guys, let's go for it. You know, one heart, let's really do it. And there assembled at Jerusalem many people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and they took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. Now, remember, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, put altars on every corner. Hey, they're going to clean up the city. They got rid of all of these altars that Ahaz had set up there in Jerusalem. And they cast them into the Kidron Brook and the altars for the incense for the false gods and all. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed. And they sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their places after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. And the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them to the Lord. A lot of people weren't according to the law. ceremonially clean. They really, according to the law, should not be participating, but yet they wanted to. They wanted to return to the Lord, but they hadn't gone through the full legal kind of preparation that was required for participating in the Passover. And thus, the Levites were killing the sacrifices for them because they were not ceremonially clean to do it. For the multitude of the people, even many from Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet did they eat the Passover. I mean, they shouldn't have been doing that according to the law, otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah, seeing them, seeing their earnest desire for God, even though they were a bunch of, sort of rough, unready people, yet they were there because they were seeking the Lord. So Hezekiah prayed for them and said, oh, the good Lord pardon every one of them. I love it. Hezekiah, watching these guys, instead of getting all uptight and saying, look at that. Did you see that? He's got long hair and all that kind of stuff. God pardon them, And that love, that compassion for those that were seeking the Lord, not judgmental, not pointing a finger of accusation, but rather praying, oh, the good Lord pardon them. Realizing that they had a heart for God. Just asking God to, hey, Lord, overlook it. Pardon them, Lord. Pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God. Lord, it may not be outwardly, but look at their hearts. And you see that in their hearts they want to seek you. So, Lord, overlook the outward aspects here. The Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, though he hasn't gone through the whole ritual, Lord, Passover. So the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah. I love it. The Lord is merciful. And he healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day after day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast for 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Great spiritual revival. Oh, happy days are here again. The people are praising and worshiping the God day after day. They're offering the sacrifices. There's an excitement. There's a thrill. There's a move of God's Spirit once again upon the hearts of the people. And everyone is just rejoicing and so happy having returned to the God of their fathers. In fact, it was so great they decided, hey, let's do it for another week. Let's just keep going, And so the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days. And so they kept another 7 days with gladness. Such a great time. Let's not go home. Let's just stay here and worship God. Oh, it's so glorious. The move of God's Spirit. Those special times when it's just so wonderful you don't want to leave. God's love and God's Spirit moving in our hearts in such a glorious way. We just want to linger around and stay there in that place of blessing. For Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks. You're going to stay around, he's got to feed them. So he offered 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep. And the princes also gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of the priests sanctified themselves. I mean, everybody was getting into the act now. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation that came out of Israel, all the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there had not been anything like this in Jerusalem. I mean, this was the you know, the greatest thing that had happened since Solomon. Then the priests and the Levites arose, and they blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. God and the people united again. The people worshiping the Lord. And notice what was the result as far as the people were concerned. What are the emotions when a person gets right with God, recommits himself to serve? What are the emotions that you feel? Joy, gladness. Great joy and gladness. As your heart is right with God, as you're worshiping him. The Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And as you're there worshiping the Lord, what joy there is, what gladness of heart. You know, there's nothing like having peace with God. There's nothing like surrendering yourself to God. There's nothing like stopping your rebelling and stopping your war against God and just, hey, God, I surrender. I'm on your side now. You know, not running anymore, not fighting anymore, God. What joy, what gladness, what peace when you finally get right with God. And so it was with the people. Tremendous revival as the people gathered together under the command of Hezekiah and returned to the Lord. And the result was the joy and the blessing. Now, we'll see further results as God begins to deliver their enemies. And in our next lesson, we'll find how God took this enemy, Assyria, and dealt with them severely. Against insurmountable kind of odds, God worked on behalf of the people, and God responded, and God returned and became their defense once again. And we'll look at that in our next lesson. I was remembering during those days of the Jesus People movement, when we were holding concerts at Millikan High School in Long Beach, Wilson High School, of course our concerts here, the concerts down at the Municipal Auditorium. But what was going through my mind especially was the concert at Wilson High School, where we had so many kids turn up that the high school auditorium was so jammed, they wouldn't let any more in, and so they opened up the gymnasium, and how that the kids just jammed the gymnasium. And so we shuttled the groups back and forth. The love song would be playing in the gym while the way was playing in the auditorium, and then they reversed and so forth. And the thing that really, though, you know, they kicked us out of there, I think, at 10 o'clock. But as I was leaving that night, and hundreds of kids had come forward to accept the Lord, and as I was leaving, all around the neighborhood for a couple of blocks, I observed little groups of kids huddled together in prayer. And that was such a moving, touching time, because it was the times of social upheaval, the hippie movement and so forth. And it was a real social upheaval. But to see these kids gathered in clusters all over the school grounds, all through the neighborhood, on the corners and all, clustered together in prayer meetings as God's Spirit was moving in their hearts and in their lives. And I think of the joy and the gladness when you get your heart and life right with God. A lot of those kids who made their commitment became yuppies. And the gods of this world, materialism, began to replace their commitment to Jesus Christ. And I think of the tragedy of that. Because you'll never find real gladness or real joy or real happiness in the material things. A man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Oh, that we would turn again to God. Oh, that we would seek the Lord. Oh, that Jesus would become first in our lives again. The joy, the gladness, the blessing that accompanies that kind of commitment.
return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the reforms of Hezekiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
There's so much for us to absorb and to learn. But the heart of the matter is this. If you put God first in your life, if you do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, you'll have a successful life. God will be with you. God will bless you. God will take care of you. If you forsake the Lord, if you live after your own flesh, your own pleasure, then you are courting disaster for your life. You're going to end up in bondage, captivity to your own flesh. And so the bottom line is, seek the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord. Put Him first in your life. That you might be blessed of God with His hand of blessing upon you. And may this week we seek the Lord, putting Him first. In Jesus' name.
The Breaking Through Young Women's Conference at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of darkness.
Lay your worries down.
Hurt, addiction,
anorexia.
He brought them out of darkness.
Self-mutilation,
homosexuality,
and the shadow of death.
Suicide.
And broke their chains in pieces.
To order the DVD of this conference and to watch a sneak preview online, visit us at thewordfortoday.org or call 1-800-272-WORD. Again, the number to call is 800-272-9673.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.